Penguin Random House Audio presents Black River Orchard by Chuck Wendig. Read for you by Exie Sands, Brittany Presley, Sean Patrick Hopkins, Cindy Kay, Kalani Kwepo, Gabra Zachman, and Victor Colomé. To Lisa and Ike, Apple Magicians and North Stars each. Stand fast, root, bear well, top, pray the gods send us a howling good crop. Every twig, apples big, every bough, apples now. Apple Wassail Song, 19th century, Sussex. Prologue the First, The Orchard Keeper's Tale. Callipaxon, age 12, lurched upright in her bed, her heart pounding as if the nightmare she'd been having was still chasing her. She tried to chase the nightmare down in turn, but the ill dream fled from her, leaving only the raw, skinless feeling of its passing. As the dream darted into darkness, a new certainty arose. Someone is in the house. It was just a feeling, an intrusion, as if the air had been disrupted, stirred about. It's just the bad dream, she thought. Dreams seem to stay with you, the way the smell of her friend Esther's cigarettes hung in their hair, their clothes. Technically, they were Esther's mother's cigarettes. Esther was 13 and assured Calla, I'm a teenager and teenagers are allowed to smoke. Adding hastily, but don't tell my mom, because she'll fucking assassinate me. Calla rubbed her eyes, looked at the digital clock next to her bed. 3:13 a.m. Her heart was pounding now, and she failed to calm it. She grumbled and flopped back onto the pillows, knowing now that falling back asleep would be hard. But then, downstairs, a faint whump. She sat up again, heart spurred to a new beat. No longer just a feeling, now it was a reality. Someone was in the house. They didn't have a dog. Her father would be asleep. So what was that noise, then? The fridge ice maker made a racket sometimes, or the heater. The pipes in the radiators knocked and banged. It was March, after all, the days warming, the nights still cold. Still, she knew the ice maker, the heater, the sounds of the old farmhouse settling. This wasn't that. Get Dad. Barefoot, in loose flannel pants and a pink Alessia Cara Band-Aid shirt, Calla darted to the door of her bedroom and eased it open a crack. Another bump and thump from downstairs. A door closing? Her throat tightened with fear. She hurried down the hall to her father's bedroom. She opened the door to his room, quick, the old hinges complaining, shut up, shut up, shut up, and ran to the bed and shook her father. Dad, she hissed. Dad! But her hand collapsed to the bed. He wasn't there. Just his wadded-up comforter tangled around a pillow. Another sound downstairs. This time, she was sure it was the front door opening and closing. Calla hurried down the hallway on the balls of her feet, looking down the staircase. And there stood her father, the front door closed behind him. Cold air rushed the steps, raising goose flesh on the girl's bare arms. He was wearing his barn jacket. He'd been outside. His hair was a tousle. Sweat slicked his brow, despite the cold. In his long arms, he held a bundle, swaddled in an old set of bedsheets. Something dark and crooked poked out the one end. Calla released her breath in an exasperated sigh. Dad, she said, irritated. You scared the crap out of me. He startled a little upon seeing her. His arms full, he leaned his head toward his body, using his shoulder to push his eyeglasses farther up the bridge of his bookish nose. Calla, hey. Gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you. You can go back to bed, sweetie. Everything's fine. But Calla was nothing if not curious, read nosy. Her feet carried her down the steps, buoyed by a child's salacious desire to poke into her parents' private business. What are you doing? She asked, eyebrows up, mouth down. Her father, Dan, looked left and right, the furtive glance of someone who was afraid he was about to get caught, but then grinned a big goofball grin. "What am I doing? Securing our future, Calla Lily. That's what I'm doing." He licked the corners of his mouth and hurried past her toward the kitchen. He put the bundle on their secondhand country nook table, a table already piled with stuff like bills, past due, a rusted toolbox, some kitchen implements, a can of dirt. If only Calla could one day find a boyfriend who loved her as much as Dad loved dirt. Every flat surface in their house became a shelf, he always said, with some exasperation, as if it wasn't him that was making it that way. "Our future," Calla said, bleary. She looked at the bedsheets.
"It's just a bundle of sticks."
And it was. Sticks like the fire-black fingers of a charred skeleton. "Not sticks," he said. "Branches. From a tree." He sniffed, still half-panting with excitement. "You know what? I need a drink. A celebration drink." "Preemptive," he muttered mostly to himself, "but I think deserved." From the cabinet, he pulled a bottle of something brown. Whiskey. Calla admitted to having tried a sip about 6 months ago. It tasted like someone poured campfire ash down her throat. Why did adults drink that stuff? Did they hate themselves? She assumed that they did, and she promised herself she'd never hate herself. Not now, not ever. As he uncorked the bottle and splashed it into a coffee mug, Calla sidled over toward the bundle of sticks. She peeled back the sheets, revealing dozens of black sticks bound together with strips of yellow cloth. The cloth dotted with, what, red mud? Dad watched her from the other side of the counter. "It's cyanwood, for grafting." As if she understood what that meant. These were just sticks. Why collect sticks? Sticks were like nature's garbage. It was one of her chores here at the new old house to go around the yard picking up sticks. Then Dad burned them, and she assumed made that nasty whiskey from the remnants. Ugh. "Okay," she said, "because whatever." Dad had gone out at 3 a.m. to get sticks. Was he having a break with reality? A stroke? She peeled back the other side of the bedsheet, and something tumbled out. A little something, soft and bloodless pink. And it bounced off her foot, and she cried out. It was a finger. A severed human finger. She backpedaled away, still feeling the way it felt, moist, cold, mushy, but also somehow stiff, on the top of her bare foot. Dad was already scooping it up, laughing nervously. "Your finger," she said, alarmed, looking at his hand, but he had all his fingers. Which meant that finger belonged to someone else. "What about my fingers, sweetie?" he asked.
You're not missing. That was a finger.
Her gaze crawled around his hands, looking for the finger he'd snatched off the ground. But instead, he turned his hand toward her and opened it up. She winced, not wanting to see. "Calla, look, it's not a finger." He laughed, almost dismissively, like, what a stupid little kid. "You must be tired." Peeking through squinted lids, she saw that he was right. It wasn't a finger at all. It was a thin apple core from an eaten apple. Black seeds exposed like fat carpenter ants. Skin so red, it was almost black.
That's an apple.
"Sure is," he said, fire dancing in his eyes. "That's the point of all of this."
Okay. I still don't get it, Dad.
She still felt like she was reeling. She was sure she'd seen a finger, but maybe her mind was just playing tricks on her. That bad dream again, poisoning her thoughts like a dead animal in a well. "I'm saying this cyanwood, it's gonna help us make an orchard, like your grandfather wanted to do so long ago, but couldn't. It all starts here. The future is this." He held up the apple core, turning it around and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?